This is the Making Good Podcast, episode 42. Welcome to the Making Good Podcast with me, Jen Gale. Stay tuned for inspirational stories from ethical and social entrepreneurs and people making good stuff happen in their communities, as well as tips, tools, and techniques to help you grow your ethical business and amplify your impact. Hello, welcome to the Making Good Podcast. As always, it is fabulous to have you here listening along. Thank you. I just want to start with a little heads up that there was going to be a break in transmission and no podcast next week. So that's the week beginning the 23rd of October 2017, if you're listening in the future, because it's half term here in the UK and the kids are off. And believe me, noisy, rampaging children are not conducive to recording podcasts. Over the summer, I really pushed myself to carry on creating the podcast and to put out the two episodes every week, which was doable, but it meant working pretty much every evening once they're in bed and getting up early in the mornings to snatch an hour or two before the chaos of the day descended. And I talk a lot about the importance of getting clear on our whys. And one of my big whys for running my own business is that I want to be able to fit in my work around the kids whilst they're still young enough to need or actually want me around. And I've decided recently that I really need to honour this and to start to structure my business more around it. So actually creating the space to have time off when they're off rather than putting myself under pressure to just carry on as normal and end up frazzled and stressed out. I think it's really important that we design our businesses to fit the lives and the lifestyle that we want to have. I knew I wanted to work around the kids, yet I was imposing this pressure on myself to keep going, even when all I wanted to do over the summer was to stop and to kick back and to revel in the lack of routine and the lazy days that come with the summer holidays. So this time, this half term, I'm honouring my why and I'm stepping back and putting the podcast in holiday mode just for a week. So I'll be back the week beginning the 30th of October, refreshed and raring to go. Okay, so this week's episode is all about impact, why we need to measure it and how we might go about doing that. And I don't know about you, but when I hear people talk about measuring impact, I freeze up a little because it sounds really complicated and like there's going to be loads of spreadsheets and graphs and numbers to crunch. So I was really relieved to chat to Kat Luckock, who's the founder of Share Impact, and to hear that it doesn't really have to be that difficult or particularly onerous, but that it's really something we all should be doing. As ever, if you've got any questions or comments, do drop me an email on jen@jengale.co.uk or pop over to the Making Good Facebook group to join in the conversation. There's lots of links and useful bits and pieces with this podcast, so I've linked to all of those in the show notes, which you can find at jengale.co.uk/podcast. So that's where you can find all the brilliant information. All right, enjoy, and I will catch you next time. Hello, Kat. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, Jen. Yeah, I'm brilliant. Thank you. I'm really pleased to be here.
Oh, I'm really excited. We're going to be digging into social impact today, and you're going to explain to us exactly what that means. But can you start by just introducing yourself and telling us a little bit about what you do? And I also love hearing people's stories about how they got there.
Yes, of course. So hi, everybody. I'm Kat Luckock. I'm the founder of Share Impact, which is a very new business supporting social entrepreneurs with thinking about how they can measure and communicate their impact. And I suppose my journey, I could go on and on and on about my journey here, but I won't bore everybody with that. But I think it's probably really this part of my journey started about 5 years ago when I became a social entrepreneur with my best friend, Jen Bourne, and we were given an amazing opportunity to take over a program called Solutions for the Planet, which is an education program around STEM and enterprise and sustainability in schools. Mm. Do look it up because it's a brilliant program.
Sounds fabulous. I'll pop a link to it in the show notes, yeah.
Brilliant. So we did that. Before that, I knew very, very little about social entrepreneurship. I'd worked in the third sector and education sector for my career before that, in doing all sorts of amazing things. But I didn't really know anything about social entrepreneurship or that kind of sort of business model side of things. And so it was a real learning curve. But I was really interested in how we could make businesses in the broadest sense much more environmentally sustainable and ethically good, if that's a phrase. And also on the other side, how we could ensure that the third sector and all the amazing work that they do was more sustainable, particularly not being dependent on grant funding. And so I was really, actually, it was a natural space for me to kind of explore and be interested in social entrepreneurship and trying to find trading business models for businesses that do good.
Yeah, and it is that sweet spot, isn't it? It's that sweet spot between charity and which, you know, we were talking earlier before we sort of hit record, is kind of unsustainable in terms of, you know, the grant, all the grant funding's running out and that sort of thing. And then the sort of capitalist business, which again is kind of environmentally unsustainable in terms of this demand for infinite growth when we're running out of resources. And it's trying to find that sweet spot, which, you know, social entrepreneurship probably, you know, has its downsides and all that sort of thing. But, you know, if we can just mesh these two things together and create this beautiful third way.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I used to get really frustrated. I saw loads of other people that worked in the third sector of, you'd apply for project funding and you were always slightly limited by what the funder wanted.
Yes.
And kind of always in negotiation with that. And sometimes that worked really well. And sometimes it didn't. And sometimes you would go off and just look for funding and do projects that were where the funding was, rather than actually fitted what was needed or your purpose and things. And so I think for me, social entrepreneurship gave me a real freedom to really decide what I wanted to do in the world and then figure out a business model. And I think that's as simple as it is, really. Solutions for the Planet. I was heavily on, was, you know, delivering, me and Jen delivered that for nearly four years before I left. And it was a fascinating time and I learned so much in all sorts of different areas. But I really we learn on the job, which has been always my job. So I've always learned on the job.
Yeah.
And I took the responsibility in our small team for all our marketing and communications and kind of learned about e-newsletters, email marketing, like how we'd get our website the way we really wanted it, so it communicated to our audiences. We spent a long time working with our business partners around, you know, we knew what we were trying to deliver, but trying to communicate it in a way that our corporate partners really understood, that made sense to them in ways that they could measure back to their directors and board. So we learned all sorts of things through that process, which I think we learned very quickly compared to other social entrepreneurs that we were, you know, working alongside at that time, because we're in a lot of sort of shared learning spaces with other social entrepreneurs. And it was fascinating that it may just have been a natural thing that me and Jen had that ability to do, but we picked up loads of things quite quickly and implemented things, and we were very agile in that we figured out when we were doing things wrong and changed things quickly. We were never really set in our ways about, you know, oh well, this is the way we should do it, let's just do it this way. We were very like, that's really not working, let's quickly change. So I think that's why we learned things and changed things and figured out what worked well for us. And so when I sort of was coming to deciding what to do next, I was really fascinated about how I could support other social entrepreneurs with that kind of, you know, what is impact and how do we measure it? And how, more importantly, how do we communicate it in a way that will attract more business? Because that's what we had figured out how to do quite successfully. And it also met with my need, which was around, I have so many interests and passions. And I was in a space in my career where I was like, how do I pursue all these different interests by just doing one thing? And I was sort of really struggling with that. And actually, I figured out that actually by bringing these two things together, I could design my own business in supporting a niche that I knew was needed, And in doing so, I could work with lots of different organisations, delivering all sorts of different amazing impact. Mm. And actually in that way, meet my internal need to actually be helping all the different causes that yeah. I was interested in. And fundamentally, learn quickly about lots of different social enterprises, yes. which I think is the thing that really motivates me. Is just, it's such a thriving space at the moment, and yeah. still relatively new. I know there's been co-ops and, you know, good business and social entrepreneurs for 80 plus years, if not longer, but I think there's a real buzz at the moment yes. around this space, and I think that's, for me, that's really exciting, and it's nice to be in that. So yeah, that's a bit of a whirlwind and how I kind of got to where I am. And yeah, it's been fascinating. And I'm still, like we were saying before, I'm still relatively new at this. It's still week one for me in terms of how being full time. I've sort of taken 10 months to kind of get to this point, from like the inception of the idea and launching to deciding to go, yeah, this Make is the time leap. To go full time. So
yeah, super, super exciting. And in terms of the kind of why, you know, you've talked about social enterprise and sort of loving the way it meshes together, you know, doing good and the business models and things. What is it about social enterprise and that almost sort of need to do good? Sounds really awful. But yeah. Do you know, like, what is it that sort of really drives you?
So I think I've done a lot of work in the past about, so I used to work as program facilitator around interfaith dialogue and stuff, mm-hmm. and so I've done a lot of work around values and beliefs, and so yeah. I'm very attuned to what it is that's important to me,
yes,
in terms of my values and ethics, and that is all aligned with sort of sustainability, our responsibility in the world, the actions that we take,
yeah,
the impact we have, but also I have a real sense of sort of just social justice,
yes.
and rights and things like that, so it all kind of combines,
yeah.
And for me, that is a natural fit. And sorry, I've completely gone off on a tangent and forgotten what the question was now. But
asking about your why and yeah. your sort of drivers.
Yeah. So they are all have always been sort of my drivers. Those things around sustainability, responsibility, social justice.
Yeah.
And actually in creating Share Impact, I also, in addition to supporting social entrepreneurs, I really wanted to think about how I as a business would meet my bigger purpose about what impact I want to have in the world, because actually, you know, the business is actually just supporting social entrepreneurs. That's not really my why. It's part of it. But and so the three things that I'm focusing on as my big where do I want to have impact is the first is around where I live. So I live in North Wales, and I'm really passionate about long-term supporting more youth leadership participation, and particularly around digital skills, because there's all sorts of things that around that in North Wales that I think there's a huge opportunity to support young people to get into the digital employability space.
Yeah,
and so that's one area. The second area is something that I've always been passionate about, which is about women and girl empowerment, freedom, and opportunities for leadership. And so in that sense, that's much more of a global outlook, and kind of identifying partners that I want to support in all sorts of different ways to support women to live their best lives and to be free to be themselves.
Yeah.
And to, you know, and I think that interacts with all sorts of different things. And it's quite a big thing, and I haven't really drilled it down to what it is that I'm going to do, but that's the second one. And the third one is around one of the biggest crises globally that I've been aware of over the last 2 or 3 years, particularly, is around global migration and the issue of trafficking and slavery.
Yeah.
And so to be honest, I know very little about it other than what I've seen on the news and read about. But it's something that deeply disturbs me, and something that I feel inclined to do something about. So in having my own business long term, I want those three things to have some kind of, and that's the part of my business that I haven't got to yet. So if anybody's out there that has any knowledge or things that want to feed into that,
any then connections or,
fantastic, because I'm looking at ways to build that into the business at the moment.
And I love that you've kind of thought, you've got your business plan and your business model, and then I mean, part of what we're going to talk about is, you know, impact, and you've thought very carefully about, well, what is the impact that I want my business to have beyond the business almost, isn't it? And identified three key areas and then just need to figure out how to create that. But it's really fascinating to hear that you've identified them very clearly, sort of almost right from the start.
Yeah, and that's really important to me because I wanted to have a business, and actually it's not important to me about what my governance structure is and whether I'm classed by anybody else as a social enterprise.
Yes.
But I know if I'm going to be an entrepreneur, I want to have impact, positive impact. That's and I will come onto this as well, I think, in the other questions, but that is aligned to who I am and that, you know, I'm able to tell my story about why I'm an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
You know, I'm empowered because I want to do these things and make a difference in these things. And the only way I can do that is if I've got freedom to make money and earn a living to enable me to do the things I want to do in the world. Yeah. So it might be that I go volunteering to go and do the female empowerment part of my objective. Mm. And that will only be possible if I've got the flexibility in my work life to do that stuff. And so it could be, and that's where I'm really excited about the creativity of thinking, well, what is it I'm going to do to be able to achieve those three things that I want to do?
And it's quite liberating as well to hear that you've got three and they're three quite different areas, because I think very often we can think, okay, I want to have an impact and this is the community or this is the sector or these are the people that I want to work with. And feel not constrained by that, but it's nice to kind of, because a little bit, I guess, in that sort of entrepreneurial way that we tend to have lots of different ideas and lots of things we want to do, probably lots of us have got lots of different causes that we're passionate about and would like to help. And it's really refreshing to hear that actually you've gone, do you know what, there are these three things I've identified and I can do something with all of them. And as you say, it might not be a direct result of the business, but if that frees you up to be able to do these other things, then that's brilliant.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think it is just about that freedom and flexibility and actually feeling confident enough to go, you know what, it's me that I have to make those decisions.
Yes.
It's me. Yeah. Nobody else can make those decisions for me. And if I don't make the decision, they're not going to happen.
Yes.
So I think, you know, I'm at the very start of that journey with those three particular things.
Yeah.
And I've got a long way to go. And to be honest, the global migration thing terrifies me, but it's in terms of that I don't have a clue how I'd even start to have an impact in that area. But I feel like it's something I couldn't take off the list. Every time I tried to say I'm not going to do it, I was like, well, no, because the fear shouldn't be the only reason why I'm taking it off.
Well, that's really important as well. And we've already sort of mentioned impact quite a lot, and impact is something that gets bandied about and possibly has slightly different connotations in terms of third sector and social enterprise, because, you know, businesses can have a positive impact or a negative impact and those sorts of things. But when we talk about the impact that ethical and social entrepreneurs might have, and we talk about social impact, what does that actually mean?
Yeah, and I think this is a really good question, because, and it's a question I think about a lot, as you can imagine, because I am one of those people that goes, I really like words, and it's like, well, what do people mean by these things and stuff? But I also think it's really important for everybody to be, that's in that space, worth asking that question of themselves, because if it's not at the front of your mind as a social entrepreneur on a weekly basis, if not on a daily basis, then I can't really see what the point is of you doing what you're doing. So I think most people who are ethical or social businesses will be thinking about that. So, but for me, and you know, I don't assert to be, you know, this isn't the only perspective at all. I'm going to share my perspective. So I do think social impact is different for each social enterprise and business. And I think it has to be aligned to what's important to you and your business. And obviously that will be different for everybody. And I don't think, and I think sometimes I've come across, you know, and I think we can get into a thing of there's a sort of hierarchy of what impact is important or in different spaces and things. And I think it's important that you don't get too worked up about that and don't worry about, you know, oh, well, that organisation over there that's my competitor has gone down this and, you know, now working in that space. I think it's really important if you've got control of your business and you are the lead, then, you know, be really clear about what your purpose is and align your impact or what you want to achieve as your impact to that. And again, because I've done a lot of work around values and beliefs, I think it's important to recognise that you know, what I think is impact might be very different and actually contradictory to what somebody else thinks is positive social impact. And I think as well, I just want to say that I think that's okay. I think, you know, don't worry too, as long as you're clear. I think it's important to sort of be clear about your why and your purpose, but also accept that you're you understand the problem that you're trying to tackle with a particular worldview, with your own values and assumptions. And I think it's important to bring that into your whole story around impact. Because I think that just A, places you in a stronger position to be able to assert who you are, why you're doing what you're doing, and for other people to really connect with you. And I think now that there's so much out there, customers or beneficiaries are only going to connect with you if you share that part of your story. You're not going to be able to connect with everybody because you are different. So I think it's really key to kind of recognize that and build that into your story, and be okay with that. And sorry, I'm not answering the question yet, but I'm getting there. So for me, I think it is really simple that social impact is really the change that you create from the activities that you do in your business, whether that's selling products or services or the way that your business runs. And it's the change that either has, it might have a social, environmental or economic change of the result of your activities. And so for me, that's as simple as it needs to be in terms of how I define it. And also you may notice then that for me, it's very aligned to particularly my perspective of what sustainability is and how we have more of a sustainable world and what we want the world to look like. And I think in most senses, all of that activity and that impact is going to be disruptive. And so I also think it's interesting, and it's, this is something quite new for me, but thinking about, well, what is the potential negative impacts of that disruption as well? Because I think those debates are quite interesting for us in this space to kind of think, well, you know, some things we might decide not to do because actually it's so disruptive, it's not actually beneficial. But in lots of sense, you know, and I'm always, I'm quite keen to be disruptive. So it's kind of like, that's fine. But I think it is an interesting dynamic and time that we're in now about things have to be disruptive for us to create the dramatic change that we need to see in the world in all sorts of areas, whether it's to do with resources, the environment, you know, social justice, things like that. But I think, you know, with that disruption, there are going to be other consequences. And it's just interesting, I think, for us to consider those things as well.
And I think it's really important, like you said, that we think holistically about impact in terms of not just social impact, but in terms of the environmental impact of our businesses and in terms of the economic impact. Because I think I see some, you know, some brilliant social enterprises and they're doing amazing things, but they haven't really thought through the environmental impact of of what they're doing. And it really kind of niggles me because I just think, oh, hold on a minute. I really want to be able to wholeheartedly support you. But just look at, I went to... I went up to Edinburgh earlier on this week and I was having lunch at a, I stumbled across this social enterprise cafe and I was like, oh, that's amazing. That's like really, you know, isn't that serendipity? And I went in and then there was like plastic forks and things and everything. And I was like, oh, I'm really conflicted now. I don't know what to do. I want to support you, but
I'm so with you there, Jen, because it's just, it's, and I think it, I don't know where it comes from, but I think it is, it has to be holistic for me. And you're exactly right. And I think actually, because a lot, there's, well, I don't know, certainly the social entrepreneurs I've come across, there's a lot more in that social space kind of with the social, and that's fine. I think the social aspects can be the priority. It's no problem. But I think you're right. In terms of your business structure and model, it's not difficult to think about, okay, well, how do we make sure that we're also not having a detrimental, you know, and it's basic stuff. I mean, plastic knives and forks is a basic thing. And there's so much provision out there now and stuff. So yeah, I would, it's something actually that I, has been really key to me in terms of, that's one area I'd love to support people in thinking about just the simple steps and changes they can make to just have a real significant impact on
them. And it doesn't have to be, like you said, it doesn't have to be big stuff. So then making the switch to, the bamboo knives, and you know, they still want to have the disposable ones, then there's some other things. And you know, if you're printing t-shirts for your social enterprises, you know, make sure that they're fair trade, or that they're organic, or that they're, and it's just little steps like that, isn't it? But I think for me, as a somebody who, you know, wants to support them, that would make the difference between me buying their merchandise or not, really.
Yeah, and also it's a thing that I'm interested in exploring, and I'm trying to sort of ask every social entrepreneur that I speak to, is how many other social entrepreneurs do you buy from? Who's in the supply chain?
Yeah.
And, you know, are you buying t-shirts and printing from other social entrepreneurs?
Yes. Yeah.
Are you buying your stationery from a social enterprise, making sure that it's ethically sourced?
Yeah.
You know, are you getting your catering from a social enterprise? Because, I mean, I appreciate not all parts of the UK are serviced by social entrepreneur, you know, social enterprise businesses that will provide food and stuff. But certainly in all the cities, there will be somebody that can help with events and things like that.
Yeah, and sort of and put your money where your mouth is time.
Absolutely. It's like, why are we, you know, giving, and I think it's something that one of my coaches said to me, that money, and this was not actually on a personal thing, but actually I think it works in business as well. Money is only something that's, it's fluid. So money comes in, we have it for a little while in our business, and then it goes out. We get to choose where that money goes. And if we're investing back into the social enterprise space, or the charity space, or into businesses that we know source ethically, then we're having added value that takes very little time for us to do, but supports and means that we are actually living and running our business through the values that we
definitely
believe in.
Yeah,
I think it's simple stuff.
Yeah, and that's one of my favorite quotes, and I think I've probably said it on the podcast before, but there's a quote, and it's about, you know, every time you open your purse, you're casting a vote for the kind of world you want to live in. And if you're a social entrepreneur, you presumably really buy into the concept of social enterprise, and it's just a no-brainer to be able to support other social enterprises with your business as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think it's one simple strategy.
To do,
and just to sort of think more consciously about how you're spending your business's money.
So what kinds of businesses, I think you're probably going to say all of them, but you need to be measuring their impact, and why is it important that we measure our impact and we have an idea of it?
Okay, so I wouldn't say all businesses need to measure their social impact. I think it's a conscious choice, but I do wish that more businesses did measure their social impact.
Yeah.
I think there's so many that don't. The reason why I think it's important, and reason I've set up Share Impact, is I think for small, well, probably even big social enterprises, but for those social entrepreneurs that are trying, you know, maybe in the first 3 or 4 years of setting up, are still growing and developing and trying to build a customer base, I think communicating your impact is one of the most powerful ways to attract people to your business, whether that's beneficiaries, customers, grant funders, partners, corporate, you know, collaborations. I think more so than ever before, people, and you're always dealing with people, even if you're dealing with businesses, because it's the people in the businesses that you're dealing with. People are interested in what, you know, everybody has a priority and, you know, things that they want to achieve and their sort of needs that they want to achieve. People have values, and it's those things that I think customers connect with. You know, they want to know how, and increasingly people do want to know how their money is being spent, whether it's having positive impact or whether it's reducing negative impact, you know, choosing one product over another. They want to know that their purchase has added value somehow. And it's, you know, and I'm not saying all customers, I think we're still on this this change, but I think increasingly customers are interested in that. But also I think customers connect with emotion and personal story.
Yeah.
And I think if you can share the stories of your impact, people will be interested. And it may be that they just follow you for 3 years.
Yeah.
And at some point when they're able to, they purchase from you. But I think for me, it's one of the it's one of the most powerful things that I've seen, and why I sort of spend money on things is those personal connections that I make with people.
Yeah.
And it's through those stories of knowing what that added value is, what the positive impact is, what the change that we're influencing has.
Yeah.
So
do you see social impact really as a story, because we talk about measuring social impact, mm-hmm. and that makes it sound like it should be something we can count, or something we can put on a spreadsheet, or something we can give a number to. Do you know, like, whereas actually it sounds, from what you're saying, that it's more about stories.
Yeah, I think it can and sometimes needs to be backed up by the numerical evidence, mm-hmm. statistical evidence, whether that's, you know, qualitative or quantitative. Mm-hmm. But I think it's crafting, it's not necessarily the individual stories of the people that have been impacted and things like that. It's it's more the general crafting of that story about who you are, why you exist, what you do, and the impact of the change that you create. And within that, you might have different types of stories and narrative about the changes that people have experienced or the difference that you've made.
Yes.
And some of that might be very statistical and numerical. Mm-hmm. So, but for me, it's much more about this whole sense of storytelling and creating connection, which I think for me is a very human thing that we've often lost.
Yeah.
It's sort of very relational, really.
Yeah. And I guess possibly some of the confusion or the, I hear the phrase social impact and I'm like, oh, I don't really get it. Because I think sometimes funders will want evidence of social impact if you've had a grant or something like that. And that probably will be that more statistical. We've helped 100 families do this, or, you know, we've got 10 young people back into employment, or but then there's all the other side of it, which is, so-and-so came to us and they were in this situation and look what we've been, which is probably more what you would communicate sort of via your website and that sort of thing. So they're almost sort of two strands, if you like.
Yeah, absolutely. And it can, there are lots of different aspects to it. And I think one of the key things and one of the stumbling blocks is people haven't mapped all that out. Mm-hmm. They haven't mapped out who the audiences are that we need to communicate. So there's two different things. And the things that I work with on clients is that, there's the impact you want to achieve. And that's why you've designed and created your business in the way that you have. Mm-hmm. And that's great. But the other side of it is, who are the audiences that you want to convince that you're doing this good work or attract as customers? Mm-hmm. And, you know, a grant funder is going to be very different to an individual who's going to buy in a retail shop kind of thing. And so, and you might, they might both be your customers or the people that you're trying to attract, but you need to be able to, you know, think through, well, what does that grant funder, what are they interested in? And have I got the information to communicate to them? And then the individual customer, have I got other stuff, or can I recraft what I've got to communicate to that? And I think once you've mapped it out, it becomes very easy. But it can become very, very confusing when you're not 100% sure who you're trying to communicate at any one time, and you've got different things to communicate because you're probably achieving all sorts of different social impact.
Yeah.
It doesn't all need to be measured. That's the other thing. Sure. You could just decide that actually this is the only one thing we need to measure. We just need to measure how many trees we've planted this year and the carbon offset that we've created. And we can, you know, we've got other stories around that where we can build into it, but that's our, you know, thing.
Yeah.
Or you might need to measure 10 different things, you know.
Yeah.
And until you've mapped out why you're measuring your impact, then it is really, really confusing.
Yeah. And so you, as you said, you need to get really clear about who it is that might want to hear about your impact and how you will tailor that message to each of those particular audiences. And I said that, you know, a minute ago that, oh, social impact sometimes in some respects can feel a bit scary and a bit like I need to be putting out endless questionnaires or surveys or filling out forms and things. I did the School for Social Entrepreneurs startup course and we had a session on impact, and she said it can just be as simple as, you know, the comments you get on Facebook or a blog post, or, you know, if somebody's said, you know, you wrote a blog post and it's really made me think, and actually now I'm changing the way I live, or I've stopped using the car as much, or I'm doing this, or I'm, you know, I've sewed a button back on my shirt, which I'd never done before. And that actually is evidence of impact, as innocuous or benign as it might seem.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think it's some of those, and for those of us that don't have money to spend on social impact measurement and things, or, you know, haven't got time to do lots of endless surveys and feedback and think about it strategically. All of that is really valid stuff. All I would say is, are you really clear at the start what impact you want to measure and what indicators might show that? Because then you can think through, well, actually, those are the indicators. And yeah, I could capture that on Facebook, or I could capture that at this event that we've got, and I could take four photographs. And then you've also got material that you can use to communicate, really, you know, post it out on Facebook and tell that story really clearly. So, yeah, I think it's really important. You know, you don't have to overthink it. It doesn't have to be some lengthy research project. Yeah. Or some, you know, thesis on something, although it could be, but it can be as simple as just capturing, you know. And I think now that we all have, I'm not saying all, most of us have smartphones, it's so easy to capture a video recording, just a voice recording, take a photograph, time-lapse videos are fantastic. I had a 13-year-old show me how to do a time-lapse video, and it transformed my life.
Oh my god, brilliant. Yeah, I need to know that too.
You know, for events, it's a really great way to just have at the back of the room and record what's going on, and it's brilliant. And you can do little animations and all sorts of things. So I think don't get over, I think you're right, it can be very scary, and you can think, oh, it's just too overwhelming, so we won't do it. But like with lots of things, it's the planning that makes it easy.
Yeah.
And once you've done the thinking through of why you're doing it and what needs to be done, the actual doing becomes very, very easy. And I would also say that, you know, essentially a lot of social impact is about research. And, you know, that's a very specialist skill area, skill set. And so it's important, I'd say this about lots of things in our businesses, it's sometimes the best thing to just outsource stuff.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, you can't be the expert of everything.
Yeah.
And actually, if it's just a barrier from you actually getting your next grant funding or your next customer, just invest to get the data. And, you know, because actually, I do think it's really important that you just move forward rather than just having that as a stumbling block, because it will be preventing you from getting further income.
So that's if you're looking for, you know, the next grant and they want, you know, proper number crunched stats and that kind of thing. But on the sort of at the other end of the scale, I know somebody who, when she does events and things, she just has these little postcards with you know smiley faces on, and you circle which one.
Absolutely.
Feedback. And I meant to do it when I had I ran a workshop the other day, and I meant to do it, and I was like, oh crap, I forgot. And so I just said, look guys, can you just write one word on a post-it at the end about you know, how you feel about at the end of this workshop? And that was brilliant, because that gave me feedback. It wasn't particularly onerous for them. It was anonymized if they wanted it to be, and it kind of gave me the feedback that I needed.
And I think they're really valuable bits of information that you can, you know, bring together, and then have, you know, have all that on your, when you're promoting your next workshop and stuff. And like you said, it really isn't onerous, and it's just having all those different ideas in your mind about what you could do.
So what are some of the challenges that people frequently sort of talk about in terms of measuring social impact? Is it that sort of overwhelm and that fear of the numbers and things?
I think you're right. I think it's just not really knowing what it's about. And I think it can be confusing, because it is different to, it's different to what your outcomes are as well. So it's different to what you've actually delivered and the immediate outcomes. For me, your outcomes can kind of form part of the story, but actually the impact is the bigger picture, the bigger change. And it's difficult, because then it's some of it's less tangible, and it is less tangible to measure. So that's where it can be confusing as well. It's like, well, how do I measure this thing that actually I have very little knowledge of or impact on? I think the other thing is, it's not one thing, so one size doesn't fit all. You know, there isn't one single approach to measure impact. And as I said before, organizations are doing all sorts of different things and have different priorities, so actually it's really important to figure out a strategy that suits your business and what you're trying to measure. It's that thing that I was saying before as well, that, you know, different people want different information. So you might need to measure different things for different audiences. And it's having clarity on what you want to demonstrate. And also it is that overwhelm. I mean, I remember at Solutions for the Planet, there was one point where I just thought I needed to measure everything.
Right.
Both for internal business development and then out, you know, the outward information stuff that we'd share. And I don't even know why I got to that situation. And then I just realised, you know what, I don't need to measure everything. I just need to measure what's important.
Yeah.
And it was a real turning point for me. And it would be overwhelming if you decided to measure everything in your business. But yeah, I think it is. I think it's with anything in business. If it's overwhelming, how can you scale it back to a point
Yeah. Can you just clarify that bit you said about the difference between outcomes and impact? Because that can be a little bit confusing, I think.
Yeah, and it is confusing, and it's difficult with different different things as well. But I was thinking through an example, and the simplest example I can think of really is an outcome might be for your business. So if a business is around employability and getting people into jobs, an outcome might be getting five people into a job.
Okay.
The impact would be aligned to what your purpose is, your bigger purpose, about why is it important that people are in jobs.
Okay.
And that could be, so that could be to do with health and well-being. It could be to do with family dynamics. It could be to do with ex-offenders getting back into the workplace and having structure.
Yeah.
You know, it could be confidence, you know, career progression.
Sure.
It could be all sorts of different things, and but it would only probably be one or two of those things that you're interested in measuring about why it's important that people are in jobs. And that again goes all the way back to the beginning about, well, what are our assumptions, worldview, values around why people should be in work?
Yeah.
And actually you don't have to unpick it so much that you're like having some theoretical debate about it. But I do think it's important that, well, you know, it's quite easy. Why is it important that people are in work? You know, why does that matter?
Okay.
If you're not clear on that, then you're not going to be clear on what your impact is and why your impact's important.
Yeah. So I guess for that example, it would be, you know, we got five people into work and that has reduced the burden on the state and that has increased their self-esteem and their confidence. And but like you said, some of these things are almost assumptions, aren't they? They're more difficult to measure, whereas the outcomes are usually quite easy to always get quantify and qualify mixed up, but easy to put numbers to, aren't they? And the impact potentially is a bit softer, a bit woolier maybe.
Yeah, and which I think kind of starts to understand why it is confusing, because it's very easy to measure outcomes. I'm going to say easy, it's not always easy, but it's easier.
Yeah.
And then I think because people don't really think about those assumptions built into their project and things, because, you know, and for, you know, assumptions are just assumptions. They're built into us. You don't actually have a conscious sense of them. And so until somebody unpicks it for you and question, you start to question it, you don't recognise that that's what it's about. And actually, I think that's where lots of, you know, pitches and all sorts of things fall down, because actually, I think it's really important to be able to assert, you know, and I've in Solutions for the Planet, we said no to people. We were like, actually, we don't feel aligned to you. You know, we know where we are and what we're trying to achieve. And actually, you're in a different place, or you know, we don't have the same assumptions and values and things. I think it helps with all sorts of different things, you know, later down the line when you're trying to have a pitch or put a grant funding application together and having those conversations.
So. Yeah. It's a bit like that. Have you ever done that or heard of that thing where it's like the five whys, and you say, well, why are you doing that? Well, so we can get people back into work. Well, why is that important? Well, because it increases their confidence and their well-being. Well, why is that important? Because then they're happier, more rounded people at home. And why is that important? Well, because then their kids will be happier. And, you know, and you kind of go until you get to the kind of nugget of the why, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think when you do that, it could become this huge sort of spider web of, you know, like a mind map of all sorts of things. And that's fine. And, that, you know, I've been there and done that with Solutions to the Planet. And then you have to go, right, OK, we can't do all of this is not that important.
Yeah.
Like, it might be important to me individually, but actually as a business, which things are we going to assert as most important? And that's where you can start mapping them. Well, which bits of this is important to the funders, you know, health and well-being. Okay, well, actually the funders might be most interested in that, and our direct customers might be more interested in the local authority might be more interested in how many people we can get off benefits, for example. And that's about, and actually you're like, you know, and then we'll pick one that's really meaningful for us as a business. But actually, we can't do everything else. Maybe we'll do that when we've got multi-million pounds in the business and we've got a team measuring impact. But, you have to accept where you are in your journey and kind of. But I do think, I mean, and it may just be because I am that kind of person. I love doing those kind of things. Mm. But I think it's a really great piece of work and doesn't take long for you to map out.
Yeah.
And it gives you real clarity and makes you make some decisions about what's important in your business as well.
Yeah. And I guess if you're a business that, you know, if you have a partner or if you have volunteers or you have employees, to be able to communicate exactly what the impact is that you want to achieve, is that's another sector that it's really important to be able to communicate to.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And sometimes it's really good to involve them as well, because actually you, just through that those conversations, you learn and discover things that maybe weren't personally important to you, but actually as your business and your brand, it's what really other people perceive and kind of experience. And actually sometimes hearing that from other people is like, oh yeah, no, that's actually a really interesting thing that we've never planned for, but actually that's what people see as our brand, and actually it's a really great selling point or niche or thing to communicate.
And it's a great way to get buy-in, I think, from if you've got volunteers and things like that, so that you're all, in effect, singing from the same machine. So are there any quick and easy ways we can all make a start on measuring impact?
Yes. So I think we've probably talked a lot about them. So the things like thinking about if you've got events, you know, can we do photos, videos, audio?
Yeah.
Can we capture post-it notes? Or little testimonials and things that. Or through your project, it doesn't have to be at events, obviously, but as we're meeting people. Mm. Are there quick, you know, and this could be linked to your outcomes, but are there statistics, metrics that you can measure? And I think there's a whole host of like really key ones that lots of people will be interested in, terms of, you know, zero waste to landfill, carbon offset.
Yeah.
Are you impacting, you know, ecosystems and habitats, and how would you sort of define and measure that? You know, employability and employment is one key thing. People into training and the skills that they develop and the ongoing things from that. And then also I think, you know, using tools that are readily available and free, like SurveyMonkey. So I think it's just a fantastic tool. And if you haven't been using SurveyMonkey, it's just there. You know, you can ask 10 questions. Yeah. It's online. You can put it in emails to people. You can post it on Facebook. You can put it on your website. It's really easy for people to use. And then it, you know, analyzes all the data for you. And other things, if you're a bit more adventurous, is things like animations and storyboarding.
Yes, that's quite popular now, isn't it? Certainly within the social enterprise space, I see lots of events, people there. For people who haven't seen it, it's like almost a visual cartoon almost of the day, isn't it? It's like minutes captured in a very visual, very engaging way. And that seems to be very on trend at the moment.
Definitely. And The other tool, if you've already got some data, is in terms of infographics. And again, I think this is a really good visual way. And Canva, I don't know if you've come across Stencil. And you can create really great infographics really simply. You don't have to be a, you know, graphic designer. Yes, there's templates there and everything. You just add in your text. You find a few images and stuff. Yeah. And then you'd have like a A4 infographic really easily. So... that's more in terms of communicating some of it, but I think they're really quick ways.
Infographics are very engaging ways of conveying, you know, what if a lot of sort of written statistics might be actually really quite dull to read, but as an infographic they can be quite much more engaging, can't they?
Absolutely. And also just and I hope this is all right to say this, but I have a free resource that people can access. Share that with after on the
And I'll pop a link in the show notes for it. Yeah, that sounds fabulous. Yeah. Brilliant.
And so, if anyone wants to talk to me, that's fine.
Fab. We talked about some of the challenges that people might have, and what are some of the biggest mistakes you see people making in terms of social impact?
So I think one of the biggest mistakes, like I was saying before, is measuring outputs and outcomes rather than the actual change.
Right.
And I think we've already talked through that quite at length, but I do think that's one of the biggest things. And then also just not having... clarity on I think if you're going at it going, oh, what, you know, blank piece of paper, what's our social impact, then it is going to be hard, because that's not the starting point. The starting point is And you know, I would hope that most social entrepreneurs know why they're doing what they're doing. They may never have verbalized it, but they will know.
Yeah.
And so just start from there and, you know, go through the process of, well, why am I doing what I'm doing? Start what would I like to see?
Yeah.
What would I like to see in an ideal world? Yeah. Am I achieving that? How do I know that I'm achieving that?
Yeah.
How are other people going to know? That's where I need to start thinking about the indicators.
Definitely.
And I mean, I'm a very process person, but it is just, it is a process to go through.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, if you're starting with a blank page, then it is going to be
daunting.
Scary.
Yeah. And one of the questions I always like to ask clients is, what is your definition of success? And that's, and then, you know, and like exactly like you said, you know, what does it look like? What are you doing? What are people saying to you? How do you know you're successful? What are the things that you're seeing around you that you know that you're successful? And I think you talked about indicators, and I know one of those, you know, slightly confusing, frustrating, annoying business, you know, KPIs, key performance indicators, but it is, you know, it's basically like, what is it important in your business, and what are you measuring, and how are you measuring it, isn't it? It's that simple.
No, absolutely. And if it is, and I think, going through those things about, well, how does it feel for you? What does it look like for your beneficiary? You know, I think those things, and it's like, well, okay, maybe one of our indicators is about feelings.
Yes.
And, you know, feelings are difficult to measure, but actually if somebody says, you know, and there is all sorts of different models of doing this, but if somebody at the start of your process has said they feel one way, and then at the end of the process, they're able to communicate they're feeling different. You know, that's all it is. And even if they've communicated that to you, as long as you note it down, it's evidence. You know, how you communicate that back into a funding application is a whole other piece of work, but you know, you've got evidence.
And it's measuring that change, isn't it? It's not saying they felt amazing at the end of it as well. That's quite important, isn't it? Because they might have felt amazing at the beginning and you've not actually created any change. So having evidence of the change as well.
Yes. That's really key. What was the starting benchmark?
So we might have already covered this, but have you got three top tips for achieving and measuring social impact?
Yeah, so I suppose it just summarises what we've said. The first one is to tailor your measurement to your business, your why, and, you know, the impact that you want to achieve. Don't think, you know, this isn't, I think it's easy to get caught up in thinking that you're competing with others around, you know, your impact. Just be really clear about, you want to do a certain thing. Are you doing it?
Yes.
And how are you going to demonstrate it?
Yeah.
And then the measurement will come out of that. The second thing is, I think, get support. Like I was saying before, it is quite specialist. There's quite, you know, there's lots of people, even if it's just get support from a volunteer or an employee or, you know, one of your business partners or a grant funder to just talk through this whole process that we've gone, you know, through on this call. I think just talking it through with somebody else, particularly if you're a solopreneur just sat in your room somewhere, is really, really key. You know, but also there's loads of forums and things to just ask for support and get ideas from people. And then my third tip would be to communicate it and use it as a power, as a tool to, you know, attract people to your business and bring more income, because I think it is a really powerful way to do that.
Yeah. And when you talk about communicating it, can that be, you know, anything like a blog post, as you say, a video, just a picture? And you could presumably be quite creative about how you communicate that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, it could be 101 different things. It could be an email to your mailing list. It could just be a little news story on your website. It could be you know, something that an article that you publish in a magazine or something, where your audience will be. It could be all sorts of different things. If you're if you're a little coffee shop, it could be something you just stick on the wall.
You know,
a statement of the impact that you've had on somebody that you employ.
But it all forms part of your almost PR and your marketing, doesn't it? So you touched a little bit on support there as your second tip. What kind of support is out there for people if they're wanting to find out more about it and how they can apply it to their business and how to measure it with their business?
I think so this is something I'm certainly, because I'm relatively new to the space of sort of measuring stuff, and it's something I'm exploring more, but the ones that I have come across so far that might be of interest to people is the Social Value UK and NEF Consulting in the UK. And they both have courses around social return on investment, which is a bit different in terms of what we've been talking about. But if people are looking around the social return on investment piece, then that might be something. There's sort of online webinars, there's events and stuff. There's an organisation I've come across recently called Story Partners, and they actually do help people go through the process we were talking about, but actually to create a film.
Oh, brilliant.
So they're actually just, filmmakers. Yeah. They work with charities and third sector organisations and social entrepreneurs to help organisations craft their story.
Yeah.
And that might not be about impact, that might be also about all sorts of things.
Yes,
but people want to look up. There's an organisation that I've been on training of before called Make It Happen, and I'm sure there's lots of organisations like this, but they are a consultancy company. They do training, they do one-to-one support and services. And then also lots of the organisations like the School for Social Entrepreneurs and Unlimited, you get on one of their programmes, they have great people, mentors and funding for things. And then also Share Impact. I'd love to and I'd love to offer anybody that's listening to this, you know, a free call to just talk through some of the things we've gone through in a more specific way to their business, and be that listening ear really to help them through the journey.
But sometimes it's so valuable, like you said, just to have somebody to bounce a few ideas off, isn't it? And just for you to say, yes, that's right, keep going, or no.
Yeah, don't try that. Exactly.
Yeah, oh, that's fabulous. And you said that you've got a free resource that we can link to in the show notes as well for people kind of getting started. That's brilliant. So where can we come and find you online if we want to have a look at Share Impact?
So you can come and have a look at the website, which is shareimpact.org, or I'm also on Facebook, Twitter and LinkedIn. So on LinkedIn, I'm Kat Luckock, and on Twitter, I'm Share Impact Pod, and Facebook, I think you can find the Share Impact Facebook page. It's a business page. I do have a group, but it's not quite open yet, so I'll be opening that soon, so look out for it.
Oh, brilliant. So yeah, I will link to all of these again in the show notes, but that's been absolutely fabulous, and you've certainly made me feel clearer. Do you know, like I said, I had done stuff around social impact before, but it's something you think, do I really get it, have I quite understood, and am I doing this quite right? But you've made it really, I love it when people are just really simple, keep things really simple, really down to earth, really very actionable, and achieve, you know, it feels very achievable what we've talked about today, so that's been absolutely fabulous. Thank you.
No, you're welcome. I'm glad it's come up across as that. I mean it is scary, and it sometimes baffles me. I'm like, I don't have a clue how we're going to measure this impact, but you know, I think once you have a process, you can at least go through it and tweak it and sort of find your own way. And I think the difficulty is that it has to be unique to each organization.
There's no easy template to
just, unfortunately it's one of those things that you can't just download and implement.
Oh, but that's been super, super helpful. Thank you so much for your time. You're a superstar.
No problem. Thanks, Jen. It's been wonderful.
Oh, and good luck with your new full-time venture.
Thank you.
All right, take care.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Making Good podcast with me, Jen Gale. If you've enjoyed the show, I'd really love you to pop over to iTunes to leave a review and say nice things. I'd also love to hear your feedback and your thoughts, so do drop me a line on jen@jengale.co.uk or head over to my Making Good community on Facebook. Thanks for listening.